We pick this story up in Numbers 22, verse 33 of the preceding chapter. So Israel smote him and his sons and all his people, and there was none left alive, and they possessed his land. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. So this Balak is the king of Moab, and he figures the same thing's going to happen. I find it interesting. I guess he didn't know. I don't know if the history, but had he stopped and not attacked Israel, they were charged to leave Moab alone. Mercy. But he didn't recognize it. He just saw what they had done. He figured, I'm next. But in Deuteronomy, there's a specific passage, and I didn't write it down, but they were charged not to touch him. So anyway, mercy spurned turns to wrath, is what one old writer said. So anyway, verse 5, the king sent messengers therefore to Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, which is by the river of the land of children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I would that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he to whom thou cursed is cursed. He heard about this false prophet, that if he blessed somebody, they were blessed. If he cursed, they were cursed. Anyway, he's offering him a lot of money. He's going to offer him money. Because we know in Jude, he says this is where the donkey speaks and rebukes this prophet. Because for greed, or however it's worded, and I got it written down here, we may look at it, but he's greedy. He's wanting money. So he's basically hiring himself out to the king. And verse 7, the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto the words to him the words of Balak. So they got money with them. Okay, then later on in the story, they're going to give him titles and all these different things. So that's what he's after. He's not after knowing the mind of the Lord. So what he does, there's a few interesting passages here, specifically in verse 12 of this chapter. Look at verse 22, chapter 22, verse 12. And God spake to Balaam. And you say, well, this is odd. Well, the Lord, his ways are not our ways. And we'll see that his will prevails, his purpose prevails. So he's speaking to this Balaam, thou shalt not go with these folks. Don't go back to the king. Thou shalt not curse the people. And here's the key. For they are blessed. See that? They are blessed. Okay. So Balaam goes with Balak, and then the Lord rebukes him for, I told you not to do that. He went anyway. Then in chapter 23, he stands up to curse him, and he can't do it. The Lord puts the words in his mouth, and he blesses him. Numbers 23 and verse 8. This is the key points. This is what I want us to look at. This is what Balaam says. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? So he tries to do it one time, and Balak is furious with the prophet. And he says, okay, let's go to another place. Let's go to a high mountain and do it again. Same thing happens. Okay, I'm getting really mad. Let's go to another place. So he takes him three different times to try to curse the children of Israel. Well, in chapter 23, let's look at verse 18 through 24. And he took up his parable and said, rise. This is what he's saying. And verse 17, and when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offerings and princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord, what has the Lord spoken to you? What has the Lord said to you, Balaam? And the funny thing is Balaam, before he does anything, he gets sacrifices, brings seven sacrifices, seven times, and all these different things. And one of the writers said, it doesn't make any difference how religious you are. If you're approaching the throne of grace in the wrong way, the blessing is going to be a curse. So all these religious, everything that's going on today in the name of God, it's going to be worse for them. That's one reason why Melinda and I, and I've talked to some other pastors, and even before that, it's just my own thought. It'd be better that you don't go anywhere than to go into the den of thieves and liars. You know, when we go on vacation, when we go down to my mom's, we don't go. We have not gone. We won't go. We made her mad. I told her why. And a couple years later, she got over it. Not going to go. Not going to go. Not going to support it. Not going to give any money for it. I don't care if it's a bake sale. I don't care how unassuming it is. Not going to support it. So anyway, every time he does this, he goes to a different place. Bring me some more sacrifices. Bring it on. We're going to keep doing this. Maybe God will change his mind. Verse 18, then he took up this parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Did he not say that these are a blessing? Did he tell in chapter 22, you shall not curse these people, for they are blessed. Okay, that's the premise. That's the title of the message, the blessed of God. Behold, I have received commandments to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. This is Balaam. He says, he told me to bless, I cannot reverse it. And look at verse 21. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? They're blessed. And in chapter 24, verse 1, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as the other times, to seek for enchantment, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Okay, in verses 4 through 9 of the same chapter, and he said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of Lynn aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the waters out of his bucket, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God hath brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curses thee. I got to thinking about this amazing truth this week. Being blessed of God. Now, I look out at this church. Is insignificant. This church is the numbers. Is to this world, this is not a blessed place. To this place, to be identified with the Christ and the gospel that is proclaimed here in truth. You sure couldn't convince me that's because they're looking with the eyes. And I think I can scripturally state that to be in such a state of grace, blessings, and therefore nothing, no one, heaven or hell, can or will be able to curse it. Now you take that in your own life. We are blessed. No one, heaven and hell, Satan, the world, can curse the believer. This guy tried multiple times, and the Lord put it in his mouth. And he actually put in words in the mouth of a donkey to rebuke him. Because we are blessed. Now that word is benefited. We are benefited. Are we not? We are benefited, like I just read, in Him. Let me show you this. I've never seen this before. Psalm 72. Can't make this up. It's in print. I can't change it. I don't want to change it. Psalm 72 and verse 17. His name, you know who that is, shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in Him. Women, believers, men, women, boys, girls are blessed in Him. That's it. And you know me, I like simple. Give me simple. Give me something that I can, as Bruce would say, I can wrap my mind around. I can wrap my arms around. I can give me this sure foundation, this rock, this anchor for my soul. Thank God in Christ Jesus that we are indeed benefited with salvation, and we're not going to be left alone. He that started a good work will finish it. He didn't save us by His grace, by being blessed, by His benefits, and then leave us alone. No, we are benefited with salvation, free salvation, nothing we work for, nothing we earn, nothing we can do. We're benefited by being kept, says Jude. We're benefited by being preserved. We will endure to the end. And we're benefited with the resurrection. Therefore, with glory or heaven. These are benefits. These are what it is to be blessed. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I'm not talking about food. I'm not talking about houses. I'm not talking about material things. Though He does give those things to us. I'm talking about cutting through it all, where the rubber meets the road, or however you want to phrase it. Blessing in Christ is a spiritual marvel. It's a miracle. But here's the illustration here. Going back to, you shall not curse. You can't curse the people, for they are blessed. Highlight that, underline that, and go back to it this afternoon. Go back to it tomorrow. Go back to it when things aren't going well, or when sickness and all these different things that encroach and cause us to struggle. And then when we go to those things and we don't have any peace, okay, I need, because I'm going to the wrong place. I have peace in Him. Our blessings are in Him. Again, I say, it's all because of Christ. We are blessed in Him. There are no blessings apart from Him. There is no truth without Him. There is no grace except in Him. And there is no mercy outside of Him. All blessings are in Him. Now let's go back and just look at the overview of the story. What we have here is God's overruling all manner of hate, because Balak hated Israel and the false prophet. He loved money more than the truth of God. He hated. It's just, we don't realize that we, and Lynn and I were talking about this the other day, friends and neighbors, I'm not saying be mean to them. I'm just saying they hate the gospel. Therefore, they do not They may be friends with you. They may try to show that they're friends with you. They may do more than some of the folks in the church do. But know this, if they do not love Christ, they would be a curse. They would be a curse. Okay? Family included. It doesn't make any difference. God overrules all manner of hate, ill will, and vengeance and corruption of man against us, and thusly against Christ, because God's going to bless His chosen people. They are blessed. Our God is supreme. He's sovereign. He's kingly. None can stop Him or question His purpose or will. Job chapter 5. We're going to look at several passages. Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5 verses. This is what God's doing in this story. These passages. Job chapter 5 verse 12 and 13. God disappoints the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. What was Balaam's enterprise? He was specifically hired and paid to curse Israel. He couldn't perform it. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. He thought was going to curse them. The king said, anybody that you curse is cursed. Anybody that you bless is blessed. But we don't realize God had put in his mouth. He couldn't help it, because his people are bought and redeemed and quickened by blood. This false prophet, he couldn't help it. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. And verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Or I will work, and who's going to turn it back? We're blessed. God's purpose of grace cannot be altered. Psalms 76. Psalms 76. And verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Isn't that what's going on? The wrath of man. I hate you. I'm gonna curse you. I'm gonna curse you. I'm gonna damn you. I despise your who you are, who your God is, and who you represent. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. We were talking about this morning. Nathan and Lynn and I were talking about this earlier this morning. Man, we think this stuff that happened in Syria and the children, it is horrible. But that is not the lowest man can go. We were thinking about Hitler and all the atrocities. We do not have a clue. We understand, because we understand all things, but we have not seen the depth of depravity. How we do not understand how black this heart. I mean, we really don't. He's going to use the wrath of man, this Balaam, and the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath, He's not going to let it go. That's one reason why the death of the saint is pleasing in his eyes, because it says in the scriptures, he's removing them so they won't have to see how much horrible things are going on or what's going to happen. And Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, this is more about the church than it is about the wrath of man or the wickedness of man. Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse 7. God speaking to his church, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot. Doesn't that sound like a blessing? A benefit? There's no spot in thee. And no one can say that there's a spot in thee, because God declares that it's so. And no one can curse this. No one can touch this. This is our security, our safety under the blood of Christ. In Him. I go back to that. In Him. In Him. In Him is peace. In Him we're blessed. Oh, my brethren, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. If God be for you, none can be against you. Another example. Turn to Genesis chapter 42. You remember the story well. Jacob and Joseph. We get like Jacob. Genesis chapter 42. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look one another? I've heard there's corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we live and die not." So the brethren, they leave Benjamin, right? They take all the brothers, go. Before all this happened, Joseph is sold into slavery. His brothers come back. They have his coat of many colors, and they put blood on it. And they say, we figured he got tore up by an animal. So they lied to their dad. Their dad thinks that Joseph was the one. He loved Joseph more than his other brethren, and his other brethren despised him because of that. So they said he's dead. So one son gone in the mind of the dad. Jacob lied to by his brethren. They thought he was dead. In the meantime, Joseph is elevated to second in command, only to Pharaoh. The famine hits. Jacob sends his sons to go down and get corn. Look at verse 36 of Genesis 42. It came to pass that they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in their sacks, which they were supposed to leave in Egypt. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, "Me have you bereaved of my children." Jacob, this is a believer. Jacob says, Joseph is dead and Simeon is not. What happened to Simeon? He's back in Egypt because Joseph is inquiring about they don't know who he was. He's asking about his brother, their brethren. He said, "Well, one of them died. That's him." They don't know. And he said, "Well, he's got another son. He's Benjamin, and he's the apple of Jacob's eye." It was Joseph. Joseph's dead in his mind, and he's lied to, told that. And Joseph said, "You come back. If you don't come, I'm not going to give you anything unless you bring. I want to see Benjamin." And they tell that to Jacob. Jacob's like, "Joseph's dead. Simeon's gone. Joseph is not. Simeon is not. If we don't go back, Simeon's not. He's gone too. And now you will take Benjamin away. All these things. Look, listen. All these things are against me." That's what a believer said in a time of difficulty, in a time of trial. "All these things were against me." Don't we say that? Well, we may not say it because the words don't sound right, but our attitude is that. All things are against me. I just got to say, if he's for us, nothing can be against us. I know that. I know God's sovereign. I know all things work together for good. I know that, but there's no buts. We are blessed. It's like I said this morning in Bible class. God hems us up in a corner and we've got no excuse. Confess our sins. He's faithful just to forgive us our sins. And like Enoch, walk with Him. Walk with Him. In one mind, one accord, as a church family. We need one another. So Simeon is held, and now the man, Joseph, wants Benjamin. And his dad says, "All these things are against me. Oh, little faith. But God will overrule even our unbelief to bring glory to His precious name, and to save much people alive." Genesis chapter 50. I love this. This is right here. This is how I wished I lived and believed. And I would never forget how to utter. I can memorize it, but it still doesn't go to the heart. And Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, verse 15. And they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite all the evil which we had did unto him. And they sent messengers to Joseph saying, thy father did command us before he died, saying, and see, they're still working larceny. They're still trying to get by with stuff. And verse 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. That's what God says in Christ. Fear not. You are blessed. You're blessed. Am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring much to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear not. He tells them again. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will nourish you. We worry about food. No. And your little ones. And he comforted them. That's why I can't. I would quit. I would quit tomorrow. If I had to make something up to make you feel good, I would quit tomorrow. If it was up to me, if blessings were up to me, the benediction, y'all stand and I've got power and whatever. If it was all that, if salvation were works, I would quit. If the keeping of the church of God, big or little, were up to me, I would quit. It's not worth it. But it's not. I stand here and I say what Joe said. I just take you back. It's already been written. It's profitable. You bet it's profitable. Well, I've never seen that. Maybe you've all seen this. I never saw that. This people is blessed. They're blessed. You can't curse them. You cannot curse them. Right? Did David maybe go back over this when that guy, Shimei, was just throwing them rocks at him and cussing them? I believe he knew something. He said, because that one captain said, let me go just cut his head off. He goes, no. God told him. What? Well, God spoke through a false prophet. Through an ass. Yes. I don't know. I'm not going to try to explain that. But I know that, go through all that. Oh, people want to talk about this and that. No. Cut to the quick. God has blessed his people and they cannot be cursed. He says, he comforted them, and that's what I... comfort ye, my people. How do you comfort people? Tell them what to do. You tell them the truth. You tell them to look to Christ. And they will do. They will do what we talked about in Philippians. They will be of one mind. They will strive for the unity of the gospel, the fellowship of believers. Now they won't look for peace outside. But they'll certainly be here. And they'll want to be here. And they want to hear what's being said. And look at this. And spake kindly unto them. Now that word kindly, if you have a margin reading, he spoke to their hearts. There's not a single sovereign grace preacher that would not love to speak to everybody's heart, young or old. I can't do that. But I can do the next best thing. I can preach the word. And then, by the agency or the Holy Spirit link, however you want to say, then he'll cause them and he'll quicken whom he will, and then he'll impact that which we thought was a curse. Wow. Sitting here listening to this guy talk, I don't know what he's saying. I don't want to be here. I got things to do. It's a curse. You're not a believer. You're not interested. But then, one day, the city of Harrisburg filling up a first aid cabinet in the city cemetery. I know exactly where I was at. I got a phone call. Yeah, man, he never calls me. What do you want? I finally heard. I cry now just thinking about that. Somebody will hear. His word does not come back void. And that's our hope for the children. And that's our hope for our family and our friends and our neighbors. There's some family members and there's some neighbors that you think, oh, if they only believed. Yeah, I get so sick and tired of talking about sports. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, if I could just sit down with you and communicate the gospel and have you respond. I mean, there's no friend like those kind of friends. There's no brothers like those kind of brothers. There's no sisters like those kind of sisters. And then you begin to come together as a church group and contend for the gospel, striving, like we saw in Philippians this morning. So, Christ speaks to our heart. That's the Holy Spirit link, bearing witness with our spirit. He says, and we say, I'm a child of God. And there's peace. Because we know you can't curse these people. They're blessed. They're absolutely blessed. Go back to our story once again. Though there's death all around us, because that Balaam was wanting to curse them and then wipe them out. Basically, he was wanting to kill everybody. They weren't allowed there. You can't do that. You can't be here. You can't come into this country and just take over. So we go back to our story, and there's the children of Israel, and there's Balaam going from one mountaintop to another, seeing everybody. He hates them. He hates the gospel. Therefore, he hates our God. There's death all around us. The world is against our Christ. Satan tempts us, and our own flesh tirelessly resists the grace of God. Yet we, like Noah in that ark, will be kept safe and secure and will reach our expected end. He went in the ark, and 40 days and nights later, he was still in that ark. Only 8 people. What did he say? He preached for 100, he was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached I don't know how many years. And when we were talking about that, I'm like, I don't feel so bad now. I don't feel so bad now. Better is a little with peace and quietness. And that comes directly from the scriptures, but I've also heard other pastors who have big groups. They got troubles everywhere. I don't want it. I'm not smart enough to handle that. And we need to be praying for them that the Lord would give them grace to handle those situations. But this is what the Lord has given us. It doesn't matter. We're blessed. I preached a message when we first came out. And you got all the tribe, the children of Israel. And I told this to somebody the other day. And they're all there together. There's got to be somebody at the end. There's got to be somebody last. And that was us. That's the tribe of Dan. And I remember telling Donnie Bell this. I remember telling whoever. We're just little guys way back here. I said, but we're in the train. And the tribe of Dan, you know what they had that no other tribe had? They all have it, but they had the banner. And his banner over us is love. I leave it with him. I leave it with him. Yet we're safe and secure until they are expected in. All together, the family of God here in Jackson, walking by faith, by grace, until it's time. Tim James, I'll see you when it's time. Until it's time. Until the Lord calls each and every one of us away. Some sooner, some later, some unexpectedly. But that's okay. Get some bad news. Death's looking at you in the face. Get out. Get away from the doctor's office. Get in the car. We're blessed. That's it. In the story. Blessed. Faith. Time when it's time, then faith shall give way to sight and will ever be with the Lord. Amen and amen. I got to thinking about this. I wrote this as the last, just this morning, I wrote this as the last thought. Yes, we are vulnerable. Yes, we are. And I looked it up. I Googled it, what that meant. Subject to this and that. We're vulnerable. Yet, invincible. How's that song go? We're invincible till our work is done. The believer. All because we are blessed in Him. Without Him, curse. One verse started the whole thing. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people. For they are blessed. Wow. And it's all free. It's free. For look, to believe on Him. May God give us grace to believe this and believe His word. Nathan, would you close this, please?